Have you ever felt burned out? What caused it? A variety of things could cause it. Maybe being too busy. Maybe there are too many changes going on in your life. Or maybe you're surrounded by turkeys who make your life miserable and strain things. Or maybe there's a major interruption that comes along in your life and it just burns you out. I think we can all agree that sometimes we just get up to here, don't we? Just get up to here for various, even Christians have to admit that sometimes our light can fade a little bit. You may find this interesting. 80% of full-time pastors report that they get discouraged and burned out and depressed. 80%. Now, in case there's any misunderstanding, I am not one of those people. For one thing, I'm not a full-time pastor. But I used to work full-time in church situations around full-time religious leaders. And I can tell you, I'm not surprised at all by those statistics. Because people just press in all the time on those people, whether they're volunteers or whether they're paid. They press in all the time, and it's so easy to get discouraged and burned out. Now, some of it may be self-induced, but you know what? More often than not, it is because of an attack by the devil. He just cannot stand it when men and women work at building and maintaining the kingdom of God, whether they're paid to do it or they're volunteered to do it. And in fact, that includes everyone in this room. He just cannot stand it. You are in his crosshairs. Here's a classic biblical example. Think of Elijah, the prophet Elijah. I mean, he was very victorious. He killed all the priests of Baal, and he stepped on King Ahab's feet, and he was riding very, very high in victory until the devil got a hold of him. And I'm going to read from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. King Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." And guess what it says next? Then Elijah was afraid. I mean, here's this big victorious guy, and now he's afraid. And he rose and he ran for his life. And he came to Beersheba, but he didn't stop there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and he sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Wow. From a winner one minute to a whiner the next minute, because the devil attacked him. Ever been there? It reminds me of a famous children's nursery rhyme that you may know. It goes like this. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. Big, fat, juicy ones. Eensy, weensy, squeensy ones. See how they wiggle and squirm. I'm not making light. I don't mean to make light of this whole situation, because truthfully, many of us get to the point of being burned out and depressed, and it is enough the way Elijah felt. And perhaps you're one of them right now. Perhaps you're one of them today, right now. You're burned out. You're feeling dragged down. There are many reasons why that might happen, but you know what the experts say is one of the most common reasons? Being too busy. Too busy. Now, some people just need to be busy and to tell everybody how busy they are in order to feel good about themselves. It's an ego booster. I have one of those in my family. And by the way, that can include Christians. Perhaps you are one of them. And when Christians become too busy, the devil sees an opening. Here's a poem on that subject. I don't know who wrote this poem. Maybe you'll see yourself or somebody that you know in this poem. It says, "Too busy to read the Bible, too busy to wait and pray, too busy to speak out kindly to someone by the way, too busy to care and struggle to think of the life to come, too busy building mansions to plan for the heavenly home, too busy to help a brother who faces the winter blast, too busy to share his burden when self in the balance is cast, too busy for all that is holy on earth beneath the sky, too busy to serve the master, but not too busy to die." Oh, well, that's a downer, isn't it? But boy, that hits the bullseye. The bullseye for a lot of people. Too busy for God. Someone said that old age takes care of being too busy. Well, you know what? I have lost count of the number of times I have heard retired people say, "I'm busier now than I was when I was working. I don't know how I got it all done." Perhaps you are one of them right now. I don't know. Well, here's another poem. This one's been around for about 60 years, and it's in the form of a prayer. And we do know who wrote this one. It's written by Wilfred Peterson. Here's what it says. "Slow me down, Lord. Ease the pounding of my heart by the quieting of my mind. Steady my hurried pace with the vision of the eternal march of time. Give me, amid the confusion of the day, the calmness of the eternal hills. Break the tension of my nerves and muscles with the soothing music of the singing streams that live in my memory. Help me to know the magical restoring power of sleep. Teach me the art of taking minute vacations, of slowing down to look at a flower, to chat with a friend, to pat a dog, to read a few lines of a good book. Slow me down, Lord, and inspire me to send my roots deep into the soil of life's enduring values, that I may grow toward the stars of my greater destiny." Well, that's a little bit more inspiring, is it? A little bit more uplifting. There's just one huge problem with that poem. It was written in the 1960s as a song of praise for the use of marijuana. Ouch. Once again, the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. And it's just one of the countless examples of even Christians seeking peace in their lives from sources that cannot bring true, lasting peace. So, here's the question. Where do you go to escape? Where do you go to escape? There are so many places. Here's a few examples. Television. I confess, that's one of my biggies. A good book. A hammock. Music. Comfort food. Alcohol. Oh, it's a long list of adult pacifiers. Brothers and sisters, here is an obvious truth. If you are too busy, you are likely going to end up being burned out. Even Jesus experienced that. Even Jesus. He got worn out. The people pressing in on him like those full-time pastors. He would retreat. He would go up to a mountain, or he would go by a lake somewhere. That's often what we do. We feel worn out, and so we withdraw and we seek comfort from something, from anything. But when that happens, the problem is not withdrawing from all the pressures of life, but withdrawing from God. Are you listening? Our problem is that we can easily withdraw from God. Here is a very true and trustworthy saying from the Psalms. This is Psalm 4:8. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You alone, O Lord, not Tylenol PM, not a glass of wine, not meditation, not a noise machine, the Lord, only the Lord. God is the only one who can send the best comforter into your life that you could have, and that is the Holy Spirit. Here's another one from the Psalms, Psalm 116:7. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Can anybody in here say amen to that? The Lord has been good to you. Be at rest. Do you have trouble turning off the world when your head hits the pillow? Some people would suggest that you count sheep. Did you know that doctors have said that counting sheep actually extends the length of time it takes for the brain to turn off to go to sleep? So instead of counting sheep, let's count on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's count on God. Let's count on your shepherd. Your shepherd. No one has ever said it better than David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. Say that. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. The truth of those words is so profound that they have transformed the lives of countless men and women through history, the rich and the poor. Men and women, old and young, the grieving, the dying. Perhaps you're one of those people right now. If the Lord is indeed your shepherd, guess what? You are his sheep. Bah. You're fed by him when you're hungry. You're protected by him when you're in danger. You're corrected by him when you go astray. And let's face it, Isaiah 53, verse 6 is very true. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to our own way. Now, this may sound like a contradiction, but it's not. When our shepherd corrects us, it produces comfort. That is not a contradiction. That is the truth. When Jesus corrects us, it brings comfort. And remember this, he knows where the good grass is. He knows where the still waters are. He knows when there's a steep ledge over there that you could go over. He knows when there's rapids down the stream, and he'll help you avoid them. Your job is to stand behind him, to stand beside him, to walk with him, but never, never, never try to walk out in front of him. You know what? All that is truly comforting, but there is an elephant in the room. There is a huge problem. The devil wants to be your shepherd too. If you open the doors to his domain, he will be delighted to lead you to what appears to be green pastures and quiet waters, but it turns out to be astroturf and stagnant pools. And as a sheep, you can't eat or drink there. You desperately need the real thing. And only God can give you the real thing. Jesus Christ. Only he can restore your soul. Your soul. Your soul. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." He also said in Matthew 16:26, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul?" I love this spiritual. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Do you know that balm? Brothers and sisters, how is your soul? How is your soul? Is it troubled? Is it restless? Do you need medications to help you cope? Then listen to what Katharina von Schlegel wrote. I love that name. Katharina von Schlegel, it just rolls off the tongue if you practice it. Katharina von Schlegel, she wrote this: "Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he, faithful, will remain." God said that too, except he said it more simply. He said, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, when I was thinking about this message, I had this thought. I thought, I'll bet everybody in here already knows all of this. They're not hearing anything new today. At least you know it in your head. But the question is, have you gotten to know it in your heart? Has it reached the level of your heart? There may be some people who hear all this as Christian platitudes. It's not. It's not. So, as I end this message today, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes right now. Bow your head, close your eyes. And I want us to get real for the next few minutes in prayer. I really want you to pray to Him. And first, acknowledge to God that the Lord is your shepherd and praise Him for that. And now ask Him this and mean it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And if He reveals anything in your mind that might come between you and Him, confess it right now. And now pray this and be specific. Ask Him if there are any changes He wants you to make in your life to help you be closer to Him. And whatever comes to your mind, ask Him to help you do it. Heavenly Father, we want to love You with every fiber of our being. We want to serve You. And so we pray by Your mercy and Your grace that we may let go of anything that hinders our walk with You, and we can be at peace with You. So with open hearts, Lord, filled with gratitude, we accept Your peace. Your peace that passes all understanding.